Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgetty Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Dr. Andy Dell, and we're going to be talking over the next 15 minutes or so about a programme known as Better Movers and Thinkers. Welcome to EduTalk, Andy.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we go into BMT, could you give us a kind of brief background to your own career, including your work in academia?
Of course. Originally, I was a PE teacher, is where I kind of started out my trade. And I had a research and teaching post at Glasgow University for a number of years. Took an interest in child development and the application of physical development and how it aids learning. And then went to work in the private sector in therapeutic practice under the mentorship and tutorship of a woman called Sheila Dobie, where we kind of did a lot of clinical work, working with families on an individual basis to help our children kind of achieve and be the best that they can be. And I've done that for the last 15 plus years now and have my own business known as Andy Dell Limited, which kind of works throughout Europe, in Dubai and throughout the UK, helping and supporting families with different needs. On top of that, my academic life had been spent studying at the International School of Neurodevelopment in Chester, and then other courses involving sound therapy intervention. And then latterly, I completed a PhD at the University of Edinburgh under my supervisor, Professor Annette Mutry, which was the academic study that was the base of Better Movers and Thinkers.
Thanks very much, Andy. And I'll just say to listeners that this is a pre-recorded show, so if you have any comments or questions for Andy, I'm sure you'll be able to get in touch with him via andydell.com. But if you come through ourselves, we'll be sure to pass them on. Now, obviously, you work in so many different areas in terms of interventions and procedures, Andy, and it'll be interesting to see where BMT fits in with some of those other ones. But to start off with, could you just give us an introduction to Better Movers and Thinkers?
Yeah, Better Movers and Thinkers. It's not so much, I think a lot of people are confused and think it's a kind of programme that's done within physical education. But in actual fact, it's an approach that's taken to teach and deliver quality physical education. It doesn't just enhance the experience that the children engage with within their PE, but also works to develop some really strong attributes in the kids' cognitive abilities so that they're able to apply themselves better across different areas of the curriculum. And in essence, it enhances their ability to move and think better, something that we take for granted when we have to write something down or to read a book and understand what we've read. We have to be able to move and think at the same time. And that really opens out the chances to learn. So Better Movers and Thinkers is an approach to PE that helps enhance children's ability to learn across the lifespan.
And my experience of PMT was on an SFA coaching course where various people were invited along to one of the kind of bigger football grounds, and they put a kind of demonstration on the pitch, and the various coaches got involved. So is that one of the kind of areas where it's we're seeing it in practice, you know, in terms of actual football?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the BMT, it really was originally written with physical education lessons within the school establishments originally. But one of the co-authors, along with myself, Mr. Thomas Downs, who's the Director of Coaching with the Scottish Volleyball Association, him and I had been applying BMT to a local volleyball club called Suragatse, as well as to the Scottish National Programmes, and we're finding some really great results in terms of the players' performance. And then kind of grew arms and legs, to be honest, and other sports came on board with the BMT philosophy, one of which being Judo Scotland through the auspice of Tony Penfold, and also the SVA had contacted the SFA. And again, we were Jim Fleeting was our contact there, and we applied it to the Early Years, Early Touches coaching programme within the SFA's coaching network. So it is being applied across a variety of different sports now, which is quite an exciting annex to what its original design was.
If we think within schools, Andy, then how would one sort of recognise the BMT methodology? You know, maybe when comparing it to if we're talking about teachers or people kind of my age, compared to maybe how they would have experienced PE in years and years ago.
Well, I certainly think that one of the things that BNT has really deliberately tried to step away from is to kind of concentrate very much on this set lesson that has an amount of time for a warm-up, lots of drills and practices, then a kind of conditioned or main game, and then a cool-down. And BNT has tried to step away from that kind of approach, recognising that children need to be able to move well in order to actually access sport and physical activity and get a love of that for the rest of their lives. But I think the three key differences with BMT compared to other approaches within physical education is that we may very much focus on the level of activity that the children realise is what's known as moderate to vigorous physical activity, for all the reasons that we know this benefits mental health and well-being for the children. We also focus very much on the development of what we call executive function skills, which are the higher cognitive abilities that make us be able to choose and make the right decisions in different areas of our lives, and is a key prerequisite to be able to learn. And the third thing is really for the children to then move and think in a much more integrated way with lots of problem solving attributed to it. So BMT steps away from more traditional approaches from the past, in the sense that rather than focus on teachers having to know the rules and the skills of every single sport, it's much more centred around what are known as the significant aspects of learning in physical education. We're trying to improve the children's physical competencies and then link them to their cognitive abilities, such as decision-making, problem-solving, and then try to enhance their personal qualities, such as resilience, determination and responsibility. So it's very much a step away from making children more sporty and make them more physically educated.
So again, going back to my own experience, Andy, there was a lot of kind of movement or change of direction. There was no passing, dribbling. There was no tackling going on. But it was a lot of teamwork and kind of sequential work. And you were seeing the ball being passed by hand rather than by foot. So is that similar in the other sports or the other disciplines where you would see similar types of activities?
Well, I certainly think that I think what's important is that there's been a lot of good work that's gone on in physical education for a number of years, and the one thing that BMT has always kind of put itself out to be is not to replace the good practice that was going on before BMT was introduced, but to enhance the real strengths of previous experiences and make it go even further for the children. I think in terms of the different practices and stuff that are being used through a BMT approach, is it very much is about rhythm and timing, children's balance, coordination, and being able to move their bodies in a number of different ways rather than set movement patterns that are typically used in a sport. So I certainly think BMT's evolved and has enhanced what's previously happened within physical education and taking it to a whole new level. And that's certainly what we're seeing across the board now in a variety of different lessons that I'm witness to and that I'm supporting within schools at the moment, as well as in local clubs with their football and volleyball and judo in particular being the key sports that seem to have taken and embraced BNT onto their coaching philosophy.
And I don't know if you want to speak a bit about this, Andy, but the kind of the scaffolding practices. And I think when you start to use language like that and you mention significant aspects of learning and, you know, you have your various levels within CFE, to me it appears that the PMT does fit quite nicely with a lot of what's going on with Curriculum for Excellence. And therefore, I wonder if many teachers and many teachers of PE have actually been able to understand fairly early on where to go with this.
Well, I think one of the things that Education Scotland deserve credit for is where they've kind of supported BMT being rolled out across Scotland through a variety of different measures. The summer schools programme at different levels, the BMT staff tutor programme, so that all of the 32 authorities have had some link in with BMT in terms of inset training for staff throughout the last kind of 4 years. The BMT's philosophy has helped influence the design of systemic aspects of learning, and it fits very well with the Curriculum for Excellence, especially with the recent progression framework documentation that came out from Education Scotland that looks at the four key areas of the significant aspects of learning across early to fourth level within Curriculum for Excellence. I think for teachers, what it's done is it's made the planning and the evaluating of the children's PE experiences much more straightforward for teaching staff. And that I would say the same of classroom teachers in the primary sector who have responsibility for delivering physical education, as well as for the specialists within the secondary schools and some primary sectors, where they still have specialist primary PE teachers. It's made the whole planning and evaluating for the children's physical development is much more straightforward. I think BMT slotted very nicely into that legislation and makes it an easier process for the staff and for the kids themselves to get the most out of their PE experiences.
And I'm just wondering, you know, many of the listeners to EduTalk would be Scottish or UK-based primary and secondary teachers. So just at this point, you know, where would be the best places, you know, particularly within the Education Scotland website, but where else would they find kind of accessible resources around BMT?
Well, I mean, in terms of the actual resource of BMT itself, Education Scotland's National Hub framework has everything that's ever been written with a BMT-specific approach. So teachers would be able to access downloadable information in the form of PDF documentation that really outlines the actual approach and philosophy behind BMT. There's access to the research that supports its advocacy in terms of its academic rigour to see that it does actually achieve what it's set out to achieve. There's videos that are there at early through to fourth level in a variety of different sports and physical activities for teachers to get an idea of, well, how do I progress a lesson throughout the year, as well as a whole lot of, as you mentioned, the scaffolding practices, which are ideas to kind of enhance the children's experiences of things like gross motor control, rhythm and timing, fine muscle control, and ideas that can actually transfer into the classroom just as much as they can be applied within the gym. The videos are very much easily downloadable on YouTube also. Again, it's the actual children at the level within Curriculum for Excellence that are on the videos, which I think gives teachers a much more realistic link to how it would appear in their actual class. And all that information is easily accessible through Education Scotland's National Hub Framework website, as well as YouTube.
And what about physical events? I mean, I enjoy reading a good academic article, but for me to see it and take part in it myself was very powerful. You know, should people go through various sports organisations, or is there a kind of one-stop shop where they can find out where they can actually attend events around BMT?
Well, certainly in terms of events around BMT, there have been a number of events that have been done both at a local and national level. There are these BMT staff tutors, you know, which are located throughout Scotland. And certainly if teachers are looking to have a bit more in-house training or to see it in, as you say, real life, which I think is much more powerful and much more beneficial and helpful for staff, then the best thing they could do is to either contact Suzanne Hargreaves or Gillian Anderson at Education Scotland to get access to a staff tutor who's locally located, and for the staff to then come along and provide some insight and in-house training for the staff where possible. I certainly know that in Fife at this moment in time, there's a lot of collaborative approaches taken with Fife College and the schools in Fife, where the lecturing staff who are visiting some high schools to see BMT being delivered to pupils. And I think that's a hugely powerful tool to see it actually at the chalk face being used in a very normative population. So certainly for any teachers who are looking to access a bit more information, I would recommend that they contact their BMT staff tutor via Education Scotland to get more access to courses and more availability, if you like, for their learning to develop further.
Andy, what drives yourself forward in relation to this area and the academic side of it? You know, are you looking to and this is a better way ultimately to develop elite sports men and women, or is it to raise, you know, SQA attainment across the country and the whole kind of attainment challenge angle, or something else?
I think my drive behind BMT was really quite simple. I just think every child, regardless of age, who enters school, I think they all deserve the best opportunities to achieve their best in every area of their life. I think from my clinical work, I've recognised something that I didn't really recognise when I was a PE teacher originally, is that the importance of being able to move and balance well adds so much opportunity to life. I really firmly believe that there was a better opportunity for us to enhance kids' love of physical education, the love of being physically active. And then obviously there are all the health and mental well-being benefits from that, as well as gains in academic performance to go along with it. I think that my drive is simply to make sure that kids get access to having a choice, to making their decisions based on brilliant experiences that they've had fun and they've enjoyed and that they gained benefit from. And a CBNT is an opportunity to help deliver that. Within the private sector, not everybody can afford to attend the clinics that I run and have that therapeutic one-to-one approach. So BNT was a way of trying to get it out to the masses, really, without it having to cost parents with kids who really are in perhaps more need than others the chance to get access to something good. If that helps close the attainment gap, I'd be thrilled to hear that that's the situation. There's certainly nothing that would suggest that it couldn't close and help to close the attainment gap with the children from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. The government's Scottish Attainment Challenge is targeting the lower 1 to 2 decile points of the Scottish Index of Multiple Deprivation, and I would like to think BNT is a very good intervention to try and help achieve exactly that. And the statistics academically show that it would make a difference. But the driving force in terms of elite level sport, it's almost an aside, I suppose. It's not something I was motivated from the beginning to look at. I kind of just fell upon my lap, if truth be told, just through different conferences that I've delivered at and so on. And people seem to have a real interest in BNT. And I think my natural passion for it comes across when I deliver anything. And I'm just keen for everybody to get access to something that actually should be free of charge, should be accessible to staff in schools, should be accessible to coaches in sport, and therefore transfer it to the learners and the athletes that they come across at a youth and national level. And in some ways, I probably look at it as a giving back. My own PE department, when I was a kid in Dunfermline High School, were a saving grace for me. They certainly took me from being an okay kid to being a great kid. And for that, I'll always be thankful. And BNT is just my way of trying to give back what I was lucky enough to get for myself as a kid.
Andy, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on Radio EduTalk today. Could you just leave us with one or two ways that listeners could get in touch with yourself or your organisation?
Of course. There's a variety of different ways. The website that I have is andydl.co.uk, and people can certainly access me through that. I have a Twitter account, which is @AndyDL, and again, people can get in contact with me that way or through Facebook or through LinkedIn. And certainly my contact telephone number of 07427182652 are other ways that that people can get in touch if they have any further questions or support that they're looking for.
Thank you very much, Andy, and best wishes for the future.
Thanks so much, and thanks for the opportunity. It was lovely to speak with you.